Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. Today we have the honor and privilege of having a guest preacher, Pastor DeWitt, who's joining us from Florida. And we're excited to hear what he has to share with us today, both for our service and for Bible class later. I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering whose we are, who we belong to, have been claimed in the waters of holy baptism. We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as it is in the heat in the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. We continue with the confession of sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all your sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when found in the desert place, the walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the roads marked with suffering, for there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
The sun to rise every morning, covers the sky with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love. Jesus does. Who holds the orphans, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father, who gave us the Son. Praise to the Spirit, who's living in us. I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was. Who understands the heart of the sinner, showers his grace over all our mistakes, washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. Who sings a song of sweet forgiveness, who stole the keys to hell and the grave, who has the power to say, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son. Praise to the Spirit who's living in us. If I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was.
Good morning. I'm Kevin Chegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from John chapter 14, verses 12 through 20. Jesus is speaking with his disciples. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because you live, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. At this time, I'd like to invite Pastor DeWitt forward, and as well all the children forward for our children's message.
Well, good morning. Wow. Sure is a lot of you. At my church, we wouldn't even have this many kids. Yeah, this is great. This is great. So today, like they were saying, we're celebrating Life Sunday. Life Sunday is a day that churches set aside so that we can celebrate the idea that we have the gift of life from our Heavenly Father, that each one of us is special, from the youngest, tiniest baby, even the unborn babies, to the oldest people with gray hair and wrinkles, just like me. This is the verse that we're going to use for today. It's again, it's from Ephesians. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So I want to show you all something this morning. This is something that is very special to me. Here, you want to look at that? This is something very special to me. This is something that my grandson, Warner, created for me a few years back. Huh?
Is he still alive?
Is he still alive? Yes, he is alive. And as a matter of fact, he's going to high school at St. Paul's here in Missouri. Yeah. So, Warner made this for me because he wants me to know how much he loves me and how special I am to him. And so, it's got a picture of him on it. It's got a picture of Warner on it. If y'all want to see that, you can pass it around. If not, that's fine too. He put a picture on it so I don't forget what Warner looks like. And then off to the side, if you look over here, Warner wrote some things. These are things that he loves about Grandpa. And so what does Warner say? Warner says, talking about me, he loves me very much. And then he says, he plays upstairs with me. And then he takes me to the tire store. And he lets Joey is my old dachshund, he lets Joey sit with me to watch TV, and he's my dude. So when I see Warner, we say, love ya, and he says, love you back, and we go, dudes forever. So yeah, Warner and I are dudes forever. Did you know that you have a Father in heaven that loves you very much? He's the one who created you. Scripture tells us that God knit you together in your mother's womb. Do you know what a womb is? It's that place inside your mommy's belly, that special place where babies grow. You are very, very special to your Father in heaven. You're his creation, sort of like this card was created by Warner.
Can I get two of them?
Huh?
Can I get two of them?
I have two of them so I could pass them around. Yeah, so you all could see them. So I want to ask you, do you always tell God how much you love him?
Yeah.
You do? I don't. Do you always show God how much you love him by the things you do? No, I don't either. God still loves you, though, right? He still cares about you. And that's why he sent Jesus. When we do bad things, it causes us to lose our life. But Jesus came to give us life again, to give us new life. His Father gave us life, and Jesus gave us new life. Our Bible reading for today says that God made us for a purpose. We're his workmanship. He created us in Christ Jesus to do good stuff, which he actually made for us to do before we were ever born. And so how do we thank God for the life that God has given us? How do you do that? What are some ways you can thank God for the life that he gives to you?
Praise him.
Huh? Praise him. That's a good one. Anybody else have an idea of how we can thank God for giving us life? Can we be kind to one another? Yeah. Can we show our mom and dad how much we love them by the things we do for them? Yeah, there's all kinds of ways that we can thank God for making us and loving us. You can tell other people how much God loves them and what he's done for them. You can show them by the things you do. And like Warner did, we can tell them the things that we love about God. Just like Warner told me the things that he loves about me. We can tell them that they are precious to God, just like each one of you are precious to God. We can love them.
Do they live with you?
Huh?
Do he live with you?
Does Warner live with me? No, right now Warner's at St. Paul in Concordia, Missouri. And later on we're going to go see him and tell them how much we love him. So whether they're your friends, whether they're your parents or your grandparents, your classmates, you can always tell them that they matter to God, just like you do. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us life and loving us so much. Help us to love others and to always remember how special we and they are to you. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is so good to be here. So again, my name is Ed DeWitt. I am the pastor at Lutheran Church of the Redeemer in Sanford, Florida. Now, Sanford is a little town in Metro Orlando that's right in between Orlando and Daytona Beach. If you've been there, it's where the St. John's River and I-4 cross. That is Sanford. So I'm the pastor there, and I'm also the president and chairman of the board of an organization called Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries. So back in the early 90s, when I was here attending seminary at Concordia Seminary, my wife and I went to a Lutherans for Life meeting. And it was there that this dream began to take shape of opening a maternity home for single pregnant women in crisis. Women who had nowhere to live, nowhere to turn. You know, we tell them, don't abort your children. But then the question was, what do we do for them? If we do nothing, then we put them between a rock and a hard spot, right? So it was about 15 years ago that our daughter Katie came home from college, single and pregnant, by a not very nice guy, a guy who preyed on young college girls. Now, Katie had advantages that many of the women who live with us don't have. She had a loving family. She had a dual major from Florida State, and she had faith in her Lord Jesus Christ. So together, the three of us decided it was time to make that dream that we dreamed so long ago a reality. So faith, family, and education are the foundational principles, the pillars on which the ministry is built. So in Sanford, we have a maternity home, and we have a transitional home there as well. And we recently opened another home up in the Chicago area. So, the next move, we're hoping, might be St. Louis. Enough about the ministry. So, who here has seen The Chosen? Who's watched The Chosen? It's a series, if you haven't seen it, it's a series about the life of Jesus. And while they take some creative liberties with it all, but they do it to bring these characters to life. And all it's all consistent with who they were and the message of the Gospels. The characters in The Chosen are so real. They're so relatable. This morning I want to talk about one of the characters in particular in this series, The Chosen, because in some ways she reminds me of the women we serve at Redeeming Life. She's introduced in the first episode of the first season as Lilith. So Lilith hangs out in the red light district. Actually, they didn't have red lights then, but they called it the red district. It's an area of town where all kinds of vice takes place. And while they never come right out and say it, it is strongly implied that Lilith is what we might today call a lady of the night. And she is also demon-possessed. So tormented is Lilith that she comes very close to committing suicide by throwing herself off of a cliff. Okay, so I'm not saying that the women we serve at Redeeming Life are all prostitutes, though some of them have dabbled in it prior to their coming to live with us. I'm not saying that the women who reside with us have all considered suicide. Some have. I will say that many of the women who make Redeeming Life home were, like Lilith, tormented. They may not have been demon-possessed, but definitely demon-tempted. Some have considered abortion as a way of fixing their broken lives, thinking the baby to be their problem. Others have actually gone through with it, with a previous pregnancy, and are now tormented by their decision to end their baby's life. Like Lilith, many of the women have lost one or both parents. Like Lilith, many of them were exposed to God and His Word in their younger years, but for the most part, when they come to us, they don't really know Him. So I've been talking a lot about the women we serve, but today's epistle reminds us that we were not so unlike Lilith ourselves. Sure, our sins might be different, but they are damnable just the same. Listen to what St. Paul says about us. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Describes us, right? Once dead in trespasses and sin. Let me tell you a little bit more about Lilith. Nicodemus, the Pharisee that in the series they call the teacher of teachers, is brought to the red district by Roman soldiers to deal with Lilith, to deal with Lilith's demon possession. So having assessed the situation, Nicodemus sends one of the other Pharisees back to wherever he needed to go to get some supplies. He needed some sulfur and some wormwood and some other things like that. So now, having received what he needs, Nicodemus goes in. Tentatively, he goes into the room where this demon-possessed prostitute is huddled on the floor. He stays back as he speaks words commanding the spirit to leave her. They don't. Speaking through Lilith, the spirits tell Nicodemus that he has no power over them. And so, dejected and defeated, Nicodemus gives up. And so does Lilith. Tormented is she. That's when she makes her way to this cliff that I spoke about. About to step off to her death, Lilith sees a dove fly by. And she stops. She sees it again. And for some reason, she follows it. Lilith, having given up on God and ready for the torment to end, is led by a dove back to the Red District. And it's there that she has an encounter. An encounter Jesus. Yes, Jesus is in the red district. And he calls her by name. He calls her by her given name. Not Lilith, but Mary. You are mine, he says to her as he puts his hands on her face. No incantations, no hocus pocus, just simple words. I have called you by name. You are mine. And a touch. Miraculously, the demons left Mary Magdalene. I said that we're not so unlike Lilith, Mary Magdalene. We poor sinners would have been lost forever, forever belonging to Satan, had Jesus not found us and touched us and called us by name and healed us. Listen again to the words of St. Paul. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So like Mary Magdalene, Jesus finds us just as we are, where we are, and he makes us his own. So if there is one thing that we desire for the women who call redeeming life home, it's that they be found, that they be touched, that they be healed, and made one with Jesus. In the maternity home in Sanford, there is a light box. It has a stained glass window in it. It's a picture of a river. And the words of the prophet Isaiah are written on it. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You're mine. In our baptisms, that's what happened to each one of us. We were redeemed. We were called by name. We were made one with Jesus Christ. And that is the message that we want all of our residents to know. That's why that light box hangs there, so that day and night it never goes out, and they will always know who they are and whose they are. And so today we celebrate Life Sunday. It's not just a day to talk about the taking of innocent life in the womb. Today is a day to talk about the sanctity of all life, from conception to natural death. At Redeeming Life, we pick up where the crisis pregnancy centers leave off. We continue their work, not just to save the lives of the babies, but also to save the lives of their mothers, women dearly loved by God. So I told you about the dream we dreamed many years ago to open a maternity home. It was a response to the question, now what? Now that we've convinced a mother not to abort her baby, what are we willing to do for her? There's another baby saved. But what about the mother? Doesn't she need to be saved? Doesn't she need care and support and love and forgiveness? Doesn't she need education or job skills so that she can support herself and her child? Doesn't she need to learn how to care for her kid? How to be the kind of mother God would have her be? So are we willing to put our hearts where our mouths are? Are we willing to wrap our arms around that mother and to love her as she is where she is? Are we willing to open our lives to them? To those who see no option, who see no hope, and give them those things. And that's what Redeeming Life strives to do each and every day. And isn't that what you're called to do? By God. To love. To love the Liliths and the Lillians and the Veronicas. To love them as we have been loved. You know what the world says? The world says you don't care. The world says all you care about are babies. You don't care at all about the mothers. You know what I say? Well, I can't say. What I say is that's not true. You see, I believe that you do care. And that's why you've invited me here today, because you do care about life. I believe that you all care deeply. So let me tell you what's happened so far as I've gotten in The Chosen. I know there's new episodes out there that I haven't been able to get to yet. Let me tell you what happened to Mary Magdalene. She became a follower of Jesus. She became a disciple. And as a disciple, she has a purpose. And she has used this new life of hers to help others. Is she the perfect disciple? No. But who is, really? Certainly not me, and I would venture to guess, certainly not you, and not the women that we serve. But she is loved, and she is redeemed. And you are loved and you are redeemed with a purpose in your life. Listen one more time to the words of St. Paul. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul tells us we didn't save ourselves. We didn't even participate in it. It's all a gift. It's a gift from God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I didn't do it. I couldn't do it. Truth is, we couldn't even believe it. Because, as Scripture says, we were spiritually dead. And God raised us up to new spiritual life. And now, as spiritually resurrected children of God, what can we do? How can we show God our gratitude for what he's done for us? We can thank him by being what we are. We can thank him by being what he has made us. We can love him back by using our lives, actually his lives, to his glory. You see, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared for us to do. We can thank God and love him by loving those that he loves. And that's what you, dear people of God, that's what you do as you support life-saving, life-affirming ministries. So today, I want to thank you for your work. The work that you do in this place in redeeming the lives of moms and babies here in Missouri. And wherever God might lead you to love them from the cradle to the grave. And so let me leave you with this. What I haven't told you is that when when Mary Magdalene was a child, her father gave her a passage of Scripture to hold on to and to turn to. The passage was the words from Isaiah 43, the same ones that adorn that stained glass window in Redeeming Life's maternity home in Sanford. They're words that I want you to cling to, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Cling to them and hear them now, words for you. Thus says the Lord, fear not. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. So rest firm in who you are and whose you are as you do the hard work of loving and saving the people that God loves. Amen. We rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let the nations rise together.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As is common for us on months where we have five Sundays, we have our time of prayer and care. This is an opportunity for people to come and receive one-on-one prayer as you are desiring it. Could be for things that you are praying for needs, or could be thanksgivings, whatever's on your heart that you would like to have someone pray with you and for you. So I'd like to invite those forward who are going to be helping out to come forward. I'll be up here as well as others are here. If you see it's all open, you're welcome to stand and wait. And then when someone is open, you can go to them. Or if you see someone else is open along the way, you're welcome to come there. We as well have Kevin Shagg and Debbie Armbruster there by the prayer chapel, where if you would like to pray in the prayer chapel, you're welcome to do that as well.
Savior, my hope is in the Lord. Day after day, our God is as morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is the strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. There's nothing has the power to say but your name.
I invite everyone to stand as we continue with the prayers of the day. Heavenly Father, you are the source of all life. Help us to honor and protect life, life of the smallest to the largest, life of the oldest to the youngest. Help us to see the works you have given us to do. And by your Spirit, help us to do those works as you have gifted us, having formed us to do them. Lord, we pray for the health of those who are struggling at this time, for the grandson of Daryl Lynn. As well, we pray for the health of Don as he is struggling. Lord, we pray that you would guide those who are giving care to him. They would know the best treatment to do and walk with him in Velta. As well, Lord, we are mindful of those. We pray for those who mourn the loss of life. We pray for all those who mourn the loss of Kevin Gilbert, the loss of Gene Finneran, the loss of Donna utter. We pray that you would send your comforts to those who are mourning. Surround them with people who can communicate your love to them. And help them know that you love them too. That their life is in your hands. Lord, I pray that you would be with the ministry of redeeming life. That you would guide Pastor Ed and his wife Cheryl as they continue to lead that ministry. That it would serve the people that you have led them to serve. As well, I pray for the mothers that you bring to redeeming life. That they would receive the care that they need, and that, most importantly, they would know you. That they would know of your love for them, your provision for them. And that they would walk in your ways. All these things we pray in your Son's holy and precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Oh, Jesus, you are stronger, more than any other. Hallelujah, God our Savior. Jesus, you are higher, my soul's deepest desire.
Please stand. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness saw through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory. As spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah.
Be seated. I'd like to invite any of the children who are going to Sunday school and the middle schoolers who are going to their class to can go ahead and be dismissed and go that way first. The only announcement I have for you is that we'll be having a door offering after our service. They support our Lutherans for Life ministry here at St. Mark's. It's that team that brought Pastor DeWitt out with his wife, and so we're grateful for them and the ministry that they do, and so there's a door offering for all that they do. As well, I just want to remind everyone that at 11 o'clock in 9-ish minutes, just enough time to stretch and take a bathroom break if you need it, then we'll be having hearing more from Pastor DeWitt and his wife Cheryl about the ministry, I believe, at Redeeming Life. I'm seeing some nods, so that's a good sign. Yes, that's I'm saying something accurate. Good. But if you want to hear about that, that's going to be right here soon. So otherwise, I pray you have a blessed week. God's blessings. Go in peace and serve the Lord.